most gracious, most merciful, God Almighty, Father and Mother, Creator and Sustainer, Giver of life and all good, it is a blessed privilege to gather in your name, to open ourselves to your word, so that your word may come to life in us, to bring us to the being that you've had for us from the beginning, that you've called us to as our destiny and our divine birthright. Let your word move in each of us, deep in our hearts, to give birth to reality, to give birth to truth, to give birth to a life that we've only dreamed of till now, but are willing to accept because you offer it. We recognize our helplessness, Lord, our smallness and our vulnerability, and we recognize that you are everything we've ever needed to manifest all the good we're hungry for. Move in each of us this evening in clear and obvious ways to establish without doubt that you are God, that this is your church, that we are your people, and that your word brings life. In the transcendent Father, the omnipresent Word, and the immanent Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Staying in that place of deep rest, we'll now rest with God and His Word. And for that, we keep our minds just open, relaxed, and listen with the ear of the heart for just a word or phrase. On this, the feast day of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. A reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Fear not, O Zion. Be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals." The word of the Lord. Psalm is from Isaiah 12. Among you is the great and holy one of Israel. Among you is the great and holy one of Israel. God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. With joy you will draw water at the fountain of salvation. Among you is the great and holy one of Israel. Give thanks to the Lord, acclaim his name. Among the nations make known his deeds. Proclaim how exalted is his name. Among you is the great and holy one of Israel. Sing praise to the Lord for his glorious achievement. Let this be known throughout all the earth. Shout with exultation, O city of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Among you is the great and holy one of Israel. Alleluia, alleluia. Blessed are you, O Virgin Mary, who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord will be fulfilled. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
When NASA first started putting human beings in space, one of the things that was most essential for returning the astronaut to Earth was called the attitude or the angle of insertion. If the spacecraft returning had too shallow an angle, it would hit the atmosphere and bounce off and never make it back to Earth. If the angle of insertion or the attitude of insertion was too steep, the spacecraft would burn up in the atmosphere and never make it back to Earth. And so the angle of insertion or the attitude required had to be completely by plan for the fulfillment of the mission. There is likewise an angle or an attitude revealed in the Magnificat that we heard tonight. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now we know those words have levels. Just like Lexio, you'll see there's a surface level where some people hear the whole thing. Yeah, that happened a long time ago. There was a stenographer there in what was the name of the town, Barbara? Where we went to the Mary Spring. No, where the spring was. Elizabeth's house, never mind. Inessential. Ein Karim, thank you. Then there's a little deeper level. And there's a deeper level beyond that. And then there's what's called the contemplative level, where it ceases to be about what happened in history at all and becomes about now, on the one who's contemplating these matters, the one who hungers about them enough to come to a church on a Wednesday night, face traffic and be inconvenienced. Now, those of us who are here are interested enough to want to know how this works. And God is very interested in showing us how it works and what the right attitude is for the fulfillment of the mission, which is bringing Christ to earth. Jesus brought Christ to earth, and in so doing set a pattern for the incarnation. He came to earth through Mary, through the Virgin Mary, who likewise reveals a pattern for the fulfillment of the mission. Now, the pattern that's revealed in these words, as we just stated, has levels. Go deeper and deeper and deeper. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now, there are other ways of expressing that same thing, and one of them is by way of icons. Here's the icon of Our Lady of the Sign. I look at her all the time when we're talking. And this is just right beside my bed. It's the last thing I see at night and going to sleep. And it's the first thing I see every morning when I wake up. It's Our Lady of the Sign, reminding me that there is an attitude I must have. If I'm really interested in the Christian journey, if I'm really and truly available to God who wants to incarnate in everybody's body, then there's a pattern or a disposition or an angle of relationship that I have to have. So the first thing we have to realize is, yes, Mary was a lady in history, and yes, Mary is the great mother, but Mary also, in this case, represents our soul, the human soul. The soul is that aspect of the body. Body and soul are one thing in two aspects. The soul is the invisible aspect of the body. And what the soul, in this case, is showing us is that the hands are upraised. Now, you'll see that just above those hands are two seraphim joining heaven, bringing heaven's insights and inspiration down to Mary, who is in the attitude, angle of surrender. She's just surrendered. How can this be? I have not known man. For humans, it's impossible. For the Lord, all things are possible. And she says, okay, let it be done unto me according to your word. Now, the word he has spoken and the word that we see is teaching us something. It's not a picture of a lady. Icons aren't pictures. They're invitations to participate. So she's showing us the physical attitude of the surrendered soul who was just offered Christ in you, your hope of glory. And what do we say? Wow, that's really hard. I don't know how that's possibly going to work. What did she say? Let it be done unto me the way you said it. I don't know. These upraised hands are receiving inspiration from above, and they're also reflecting it to the world around us in a blessing posture. Now remember, this is the invisible aspect. So she might be talking to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth sees her body, but inside, this woman is like this. Our soul must be like this. We're not grabbing at anything. We're not pushing on anything. We're not saying, stop, stop, this can't be. We're just aware the Lord is vast and great, intelligence itself, and I am small and ignorant. And if he said it, it must be so. How would I know? So I'll just take the attitude of one who wants to bring Christ to earth, whose body, I want to be one whose body becomes Eucharist. We're all meant to be Eucharist. How's that going to happen? By just going to church or just doing your daily practice? Well, those things are good, because here's we hear the word opened, and our daily practice is where we practice this disposition, fully surrendered. Now, you'll notice if there was a thought bubble above Mary, it would be nothing, no thought. You can't think your way to Christ on earth. You can't reason your way. You can't earn your way. You can't even beg your way. You consent or submit in the gesture and attitude of surrender. But now look, what's in her, down in her belly? It's not an infant. It's not an embryo. It's an adult Christ, a young adult Christ. He's got his hand in the posture that says fully human, fully divine. And he's teaching. Is she making that happen? God said, I'm going to overshadow you, and I'm going to be a Savior born in you. And she said, okay. She didn't try to make that happen. She consented to it. She submits to it. And every time we pass that icon, if we pass it by and don't pause for a moment and let it speak to us wordlessly, then we haven't yet understood that it's offering us an angle of insertion, an attitude of entry into the stream of life, where we won't bounce off into silliness and we won't burn up in fervor over the world conditions. And we won't be saying, oh God, I don't know, I'm so bad, how could Christ ever be born in me? It's, you said it, it must be so. I submit and consent. Now, you'll notice too that the halo around her head and her mantle do what looks like a figure eight vertically with the Christ in her belly. And here's where the crossover happens, right at the throat, where the power of speech is located in us. Whether we utter speech or not, this is involved in the conceptualization of religious ideas. When we over-conceptualize religious ideas, they become conversation, and they cease to have their effectiveness and their fullness at the embodiment of the idea being offered. And so we don't think a lot about it, and we don't talk a lot about it, but we do remember, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now, in this whole thing here is a little theology in itself, theologian. She's called the Theotokos, or the Mother of God. She's the fertile soul in relation to its environment and to its source. Now, if I was to be held accountable today, just say, I review my day, I say, how often did my soul magnify the Lord? Well, I can see a couple times, yes. Because then when I did, I remember what happened was my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. He plucked me right out of ordinary consciousness and brought me into a deeper, bigger, fuller consciousness because I magnified him for a moment. You see, we can't bring ourselves to that state of exalted ecstasy. We can't bring ourselves into a spirit of rejoicing, but it'll be given to us if we magnify the Lord. And where we magnify him is with our speech. Did we magnify today the news? Did we magnify financial difficulties? Did we magnify relational difficulties? Did we magnify what? Look at what we magnify. But God is my Savior. If I'll simply magnify him, I'll be in rejoicing in a moment, and there won't be a single reason for it. It's perfectly unreasonable, this incarnation of Christ. Absolutely undeserved and unearned by any of us, and yet, for those who follow the plan, for the angle of insertion, for the re-entry of consciousness into the body, this gesture of surrender, receiving inspiration from above automatically, the soul that magnifies the Lord in this attitude of not grabbing, not pushing, just being, will see rejoicing erupt. And her heart will be glad because in her very body, in the body of that soul, will be born the Christ. And he won't be born as a helpless infant. He'll be born in that attitude that Jesus called us to when he said, let your minds be as simple as children, because if they're not, you'll in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And let's remember that heaven is not up on the sky somewhere. That spacecraft, if it bounced off and went up there, wouldn't get to heaven. Heaven is right here where human beings are on earth. But human beings aren't where human beings are. Our attention is magnifying issues, magnifying concerns, magnifying imagined slights or insults or where it isn't going right for me. This is not the pattern that will result in the birth of Christ in our bodies. That simple pattern doesn't require much of us, but oh my goodness, look what it takes to let go of those patterns where we skip off into the space of silliness and just small-minded chatter, or get so heated up over concepts of conditions that we lose our center altogether and just burn with resistance and anger. Those who give themselves to the Lord will never be disappointed, cannot be. But the only way he can give himself to us, the only way the plan of Christ on earth in you, your hope of glory, only way is through the appropriate disposition, the angle of insertion into life. Fully surrendered, fully trusting in the above and the promises it made, fully blessing the world around, but not filled with thoughts. And you'll notice she's not looking away either. Her frank gaze simply looks out at the world. It simply looks. That's all. Mr. Gurdjieff said, to know this work, one need know only very little. But to know that little, one must first know pretty much. Well, all of us have probably studied the language of religion, the language of spirituality, a lot. And now maybe it's time for us to mature into the very little, the very, very little, which is to simply recognize the mystery of our own presence here, the unimaginable wonder of the human body digesting and breathing, participating. Nobody ever figured this out. Nobody will ever figure it out. A computer will never figure out a human, and a human will never figure out God. But if we adopt the attitude of his offerings to us, magnifying the Lord with our speech and our concepts and our thoughts, magnifying him with not resisting the world, we're going to be amazed. The less we do, the more we receive in this instance. And so getting to this simplicity, daily practice, trust in God, daily expressions of the goodness of it all, praising him. If you hear people complaining, I became a big bore around my office when this stuff hit me, because we all used to get around the water cooler and complain about McChesney and the management. I stopped doing that and said, wow, I'm so grateful to have a job, so grateful to be here today. Well, people don't want to hear that. But that's what it takes to get onto earth with Christ. One has permission to and an invitation to let it all go. Let the whole script go, let the whole objection go, let the whole fear go, and praise the wonder that creates this world and is now and always creating us out of its infinite love, because that's the way that this craft will come to earth. And that's the way that without our telling him what to do, what is needed, God can simply use us to do his own work just as he did with Holy Mary. Her soul magnified the Lord. Oh my God. She rejoiced in God my Savior. Her spirit was happy. So why do we do all things we do? To try to get happy? Isn't that what we're doing for? So we'll be happy. In Christ we're already happy. There are no conditions to happiness in Christ. So now Mary's showing us the way. Our Lady of the Sign is showing us the way. This is seeing deeper than the surfaces. This is the disposition or the attitude of one who would like to bear Christ because the offering was made. That's the only reason. Not to be wonderful, not to fix the world, because God said so. Okay, Lord, as you say. Maybe every day I could magnify him a little more. Maybe every day I could start out with looking and seeing, not just looking at, but seeing into and through and realizing this is a mirror. Our Lady of the Sign is a mirror for us to look into, to check our attitude, our angle of return, our angle of insertion, to see if it's according to plan. If it's not, it's likely that we could bounce off into space or burn up. Well, I've been holding on to that all day, and I finally got rid of it. Now it's yours. The love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ are with us now and always. Amen.